Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Suggestion, just off the cuff, don't do that tonight.
So, I never heard this song before. This is new to me. I don't know who this is. Educate me.
I will. And good morning, everybody, and happy Saturday to everyone out there in Southern California.
Woo!
And also on Del Marva Talk Radio.
East Coast, baby.
East Coast. Hello, East Coast. Hope everything is going well. Of course, we've got a full house today. Producer Zach is here.
I love weed.
Amber is here today.
I miss you guys.
Steve Silva's here today.
He is where?
I have no freaking idea.
Over there.
He was in the bathroom.
And, of course, I am your host, Sean Robertson. Together, we are your weekly dose. And, of course, we're streaming to you live here from Orange County, California, every Saturday morning.
Good morning, Delmarva. Everybody in East Coast, right now it's about 80 something. It's going up to a high of like 89 today.
Yes,
East
I am.
Coast.
Oh, good for them.
It's going to be a beautiful day. They're still kind of locked down. A lot of the major events on the peninsula have been canceled and stuff, but everybody hang in there.
You're really keeping track of this East Coast thing.
Which is
invested.
Good.
Yeah.
No, this is great.
Somebody has to.
Like a weatherman.
Well, thank you all for joining us today and every Saturday as we pay homage to our favorite radio gods, Mark and Brian. And hopefully they're getting into the Horror Radio Hall of Fame soon.
This summer,
soon. I heard Horror Radio.
It is summer. Yeah, so... You know, just remember, follow Mark and Brian Radio Hall of Fame on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram on how you can help them. Continue to follow and say hi and leave messages and just, you know, support Mark and Brian.
Do you want to give us an update, Sean?
As far as I know, basically, I haven't heard too much from Laura, but we're waiting right now just to hear where the votes are going. There have been some people who know the guys very well and who have worked with them. Who have voted, and of course they cannot say who they voted for, though. Of
Ryan
course,
Seacrest, God!
Which they won't vote for because he's already in, so that's good.
Yeah.
We're just waiting right now for the results. So we are praying to the radio gods that the radio gods will get in.
Is that how that works?
It is, yes. And
you
find
can
out.
Pray to the
know.
Porcelain god
and
if
then
you want
also
to. Too.
Oh, yeah. Dear.
And then of course also finding out to see whose palms we need to grease to get them in.
Oh boy, so. I don't think we need to do that.
Hey, I got a big fiver right here. That's
yeah, you
ready
do, baby.
To, ready to get.
Oh,
yeah, you
boy.
Do.
Yeah, baby.
So guys, for those of you who recently followed us, thank you for joining the family, and we are so glad that you come hang out with us and you listen to us and you put up with us. That's so. I just want to hug everybody. Just give everybody a big friggin' hug and say thank you.
Yeah, no kidding.
We put up with each other. That's why
do.
They all should.
Yeah.
So you guys, if you want to, you know, tune in, blah blah blah, chime in. Hit us up on the Facebook page. That's the best way. The Facebook page or the Mixler. I think there's a
or the Netflix.
What's
or the Hulu?
The Mixler. What, there's like a little chat room on Mixler, right?
Yes, there is.
All right.
Yes, there is.
There we go.
Well, we got a big show for you guys today. Hopefully here in a few moments, we're going to have our wonderful Tina Anderson on talking about our horoscopes.
Hopefully. Tina!
And then at 10:25, we've got movie reviews with our dear friend, Paul Preston, who recently came back from a wonderful trip from Yosemite.
Yosemite.
That's, you know, Yosemite for your foreign people.
Yes.
Yeah, Yosemite. Of course, we got a Mark and Brian past moment for you. We got some funny signs. We'll be talking about the passing of a few celebrities that have happened last week.
No.
We'll be talking possibly about new Victory Gardens or today's modern Victory Gardens. Worst fast food chains. Of course, we'll be tuning into the Neanderthals. And, of course, we got the game later on as well, too. So we got all that for you guys.
Woo!
Yeah, so...
Where are you, Steve? How are you doing?
Well, I think we kind of said this. Anyway,
We did.
You can interact with the show coming on our website, yourweeklydose.com, as well as Twitter, Instagram, and WeeklyDose1. And find us on Facebook or email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
Yes, and you can also download the show for free on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose. And most importantly, don't forget to rate and review the show. Is that good, Sean? Was that good?
That was awesome.
And Del Marva.
Bam, baby.
Almost like a pro. Yeah.
Del Marva Radio as well.
Oh, screw you.
Well, you know, you were asking about today's song. And
it is
called
song?
My New Girlfriend. It's by Billy Falcon. If you're not familiar
with... Who the hell's Billy Falcon?
Billy Falcon is a East Coast songwriter.
An East Coast songwriter. Okay.
Who unfortunately lost his wife due to cancer. Oh. He then had to raise his daughter Rose on his own while trying to have a music career. Entered 1990, and the John Bon Jovi couldn't be bigger at the time. He just had the big hit with the soundtrack for Young Guns 2.
Back to Young Guns.
He got in touch with Aldo Nova, helped Aldo Nova research his career at that time period. And Danny Korchmar, who worked with John Bon Jovi on the soundtrack for Young Guns 2, asked for John's help. He says, hey, do you remember this guy? He goes, yeah, where's Billy at now? And he says, well, he's in Nashville. Well, what the hell is he doing there? Let's get him back to New York where he belongs. And John,
Nashville's fantastic.
John and Danny Korchmar then produced his first album, which went national. They put it on John's record label.
Oh.
And he's been a big-time songwriter ever since. Also since the 2000s, basically, in my opinion, he and John have a gentleman's agreement. Because there has been at least two songs that Billy has co-wrote with John on every single Bon Jovi album since 2000.
You're just a fount of information on this stuff.
And Billy is a phenomenal writer.
I got the lowdown. I was like, I said one thing about Young Guns to Sean last night, and it was like an hour long. I got the full.
And the whole thing is, I didn't know it was a true story.
I did not know it was a true story. I mean, I'm Billy the Kid.
Yeah.
But
the Lincoln County Wars in New Mexico.
I had no idea. That was an interesting. My brain is filled up right now.
Yeah.
Yep. You just know everything.
Yeah.
Is that why your headphones fit suddenly?
But no, Billy's a great songwriter. If you're not familiar with him, like Amber is, please look him up. Go to his website, BillyFalcon.com. Yeah, you can find him on Facebook. Also, he is a wonderful, wonderful songwriter. As a matter of fact, John Bon Jovi just praises him because of the way he writes and everything. And
yeah, they sound very similar.
They are, yeah, but
they have a vibe.
There is a vibe, but when John takes one of the songs that they co-wrote, John, I'll just say this: he Bon Jovi's it up and twists it compared to how Billy may have the original or whatever. So, but definitely check it out. And of course, please make sure that you go to Amazon.com to get all of Billy's music too, because anybody that we have on the show that we play their music, you can definitely get it on Amazon. Just go to our website, use our Amazon banner, and you're good to go. Just click it and get whatever you want. Do all your shopping there at Amazon, of course.
All right.
It's cool. All right. Well, you know what? We need to move things along, so let's go ahead and let's get our horoscopes done. Bob. Well, of course, on the phone with us every month is the sexy, the talented Tina Anderson.
Wow. Always love that. Just look forward to
that. Shaking her kabuki everywhere she can.
Oh,
there
boy.
We go. Hello, everybody. Yes, and welcome to, speaking of shaking your whatever everywhere, welcome to the beautiful month of Leo energy. I love Leo energy. Oh, my gosh. I do
Roar.
Have a Leo.
Do tell.
Leo moon. I do have a Leo moon in me, and so I resonate with it even more.
Is that your husband?
We are in that. My husband?
Yeah, is he the Leo moon that's in you?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
What is this? Tina, sometimes you just need to
snap him. How did we already go down that path that quickly? Not even take...
Because I love you.
Sean lives there. Sean just, that's his residence.
I'm surprised it took that long.
That's right. I know better. In fact, that's why I'm not shocked. That's why I'm like, uh-huh, okay, got it. I was actually at a going away social distance outside at a park going away party. I feel like I always have to say that so I don't get judged.
Uh-huh.
And someone's next to me. Who knows, I do spiritual work, was talking about the four agreements, and I don't want to get into the four agreements, but her husband was sitting next door, and this friend was saying, let's see, I remember two of them, and then he goes, I know the third one, though. He goes, have sex with your husband every night. That's the four agreements, right? And I started laughing. I said, do you know my husband? Because all of a sudden, your wife, I get her, so... I hope they understand your life.
Like, oh my!
I get you, guy. I get her. I have a newfound respect for your wife. I get it. So that's exactly what I'm going to say. But anyway, okay.
Tell us about Leo,
I'm digressing.
Tina.
Yeah, Leo. I love Leo. Leo is ruled by the sun. So everything revolves around the sun. The sun does not revolve around other people, right? I mean, the sun doesn't rotate around other planets.
Uh-huh.
So we have fixed fire energy, and we have the noble Leo, and we have someone who brings enlightenment in the sense of lightens people up. If you are with someone that's just lighting up the stage, walks in the room, you can feel their presence, you know they're there. That's Leo energy at its essence. But Leos have a tiny kitty cat inside too. They care so much about people and people being lifted up and this playfulness that they have. Yes, it can be all about me as a Leo. That's their shadow mm-hmm. energy. But they're really there to inspire, to lift people up, to help you feel empowered. And they are our entertainers a lot. And of course, they are leaders. And yes, they can be. It can be all about them. And of course, you know, if a Leo is not healthy, it's going to be a petulant child where it's all about me all the time. And that can obviously be very difficult.
That's tough in a relationship. I've had two of those. Oh, boy.
Oh, really?
Ooh.
Ouch. And they were not healthy?
No.
Excuse me. Oh.
But my son is a healthy Leo. His birthday was yesterday, and he is all of the good things. I call him my little lion prince.
Oh, yeah, because Leos tend to be generous.
I call him Simba.
And they can wear their hearts on their sleeves, and they can be showy, and they can be visible and all that, but then that opens themselves up to criticism. And they do have these sensitive insides you don't realize that are going on. But they really, if you get past their drama sometimes and all of, you know, because they can be drama kings and drama queens, as
oh,
we
boy.
Know. But they can be very bold and very upfront. And some people really struggle with Leo energy because they're usually going to tell you like it is. But their energy is there to uplift you. And if you feel diminished, that's your issue. I'm just going to be honest, being the Leo moon that I have, and I'm pretty, and then the Aquarius sun, I'm very blunt. But if somebody, if you get in the presence and you feel like a shrinking violet, it should be the opposite energy if you're healthy with a Leo. You should feel like, yes, I'm going to pull myself up and I'm going to get on my own stage. I'm going to do my thing. And if you feel like, oh, gosh, and you're just too much for me, then I'm asking you now, whenever you hear this, to deep dive on yourself and see, I shouldn't say deep dive on yourself. That Sean's going to take that the wrong way.
Gonna need a snorkel.
He was making a face as soon as you said it.
Wait, let me restate that because that's not.
No. You're right on target. You're right on target, Tina.
Now I have to watch what I'm saying.
You don't. You know that.
Oh my God. But no, I know. I'm just kidding. But the bottom line is, if they're, you know, like the peacock strutting their feathers, and you know, and you, let's say you see, you know, the peacock strutting his feathers, and you feel like, well, let other people shine. Look at you. That then you need stuff to work on, because you should say to yourself, wow, that's beautiful. Everyone should have their feathers and everyone should shine. That's how you want to feel around Leo energy. And a healthy Leo will do that for you. They'll walk in the room and you'll just kind of feel like, woo, let's go, you know.
Very
and
true.
And Leos. that's a healthy Leo. And then, of course, the opposite of that is a domineering, someone who is bold, but a little disrespectful in the way that they're bold, and they are all about themselves and they can't listen to you and they don't want to know about what's going on with you. And so their passion is only about themselves. I would say that the worst combination I could imagine would be probably a narcissistic Leo. That would just
be. Oh, that's the one.
Is that what you had? Yeah.
Two of those. Oh, gosh. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, that's going to be, that would be definitely a difficult alignment there. Mm. And so, but they're the ruled by the sun, right? So they wherever they go, they shine. So really understanding Leo energy, and that's basically everyone going through August 22nd. It's so important to embrace that. And I think that one of the biggest takeaways here is, if you find someone's a Leo and you find that you feel like you got to pull back or you feel self-conscious or something, then that's a shadow for you to say, what part of me isn't shining? What do I need to pull out of here? What's going on? Because if you're really in your true essence, you are going to be uplifted from Leo energy. You are not going to be a shrinking violet, if that makes sense to you guys. And Archangel Raziel is the angel that works with Leo. So if you're listening, you're a Leo, look up Archangel Raziel, R-A-Z-I-E-L, and he is the angel for you. And he's beautiful, rainbow colored, and he will help support that very strong Leo energy, the generous side of you, because Leos are usually not petty, and they raise the bar on personal standards for all of us if they're healthy. And we don't want to feel worse about ourselves in the presence of a Leo. So if you do, then once again, I think that's the message that I got before I tuned in to with you guys to do this today, was to remind people that if they feel like they're shrinking around that energy Leo, that to look at themselves, not the other person. And I think that's, you know, and maybe you can't have, maybe you're just not able to handle it. So if you have a child in Leo and someone's not getting your child, right, then you might have to be a little bit of a protective mama bear, and, and especially when they're young, right? Because because you don't want your Leo child to shrink because somebody else doesn't get their energy. And then they feel like, oh my gosh, I need to pull back on who I am. They're not going to say to themselves, I'm shining too bright, or my energy is too strong, or I shouldn't be on my stage or whatever. They're not going to think that. But as a child, what you're going to do is you're going to adapt to what you think is right. And if you feel like somebody is not getting you, and you don't have the wherewithal at that age to figure it out, you're going to pull back on your own authenticity and make yourself smaller, if that makes sense.
Especially as a teenager, that's tough, you know, when you're trying to figure yourself out and your own individuality.
So you don't want to, if you're a parent and you have Leo children and they're trying to figure themselves out and they're pulling back because someone can't handle their energy, that's something for you to step in and say, be yourself. The people who can handle you will handle, you know, those people may say, well, I'm too much for some people. And when you say that, you don't mean it pompous, like, oh, I'm too much because I have my shit together or whatever. It's not that. It's just that for some people, your energy is too much because it's bringing out the parts of them that they haven't developed. But instead of you lowering yourself to their level, you need to find a different circle. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very, I think Leo energy is really interesting. I think that a lot of Leos have to shrink into fitting what they think they should, because they feel like they're, quote, too much for others.
Huh.
And a Leo that really shines and that's healthy brings so much light and fun and lifting everybody up. Oh my gosh. They shine the sun's light everywhere.
Mm-hmm. My mom's a Leo too. So she's the, she vacillates between the two.
Does she?
Yeah, but she is the light. She's like that energy and the funny and Yeah, she vacillates between the two, the good and the bad.
Yeah, and they're the king of the jungle, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They're lions. They're the king of the jungle, and right. But like I said, they have this kitty cat kind of side to them. They have this where they can take things very personally, and they can there's a sensitive side where you don't realize it maybe even, but they can definitely be hurt, and then they will show that sometimes quite openly because they're Leos, and they just will be like. Okay, now, I it's kind of like with my younger son who has a lot of Leo energy, Leo rising, Leo moon, and when he's in a bad mood, the whole house, like, you know it.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You know it.
They rule the roost.
Everybody knows it. Yeah, like the whole, it's like a tornado comes in and all the energy just permeates through your whole house. And yet there are other people that if they're in a bad place, they're just going to shrink off into their room. You wouldn't know. You have to pull it out of them. Like, what's wrong? No, I'm fine. I'm fine. When Leos are struggling or when Leos are up, the energy, it's like you get into a vortex with them.
it's very true.
So, let me ask you this then real quick. So with Leos then, it sounds like without a good upbringing per se and a good balancing, they can really swing one way or the other, be very narcissistic or be very open and giving and so forth. Out of all of the signs, are they very, very, or the most sensitive to that though? Or are there other signs that are a little bit more sensitive?
You know, that's a good question. I'd have to think about that a little bit longer. I just got that hit. I got the strong hit on Leo to talk about, you know, shining your light. But I'd have to really think about that because I think anytime you look at the probably, I'd have to think about it, but I'm thinking the fixed fire signs. The fixed signs probably that are kind of in the middle and the kind of they keep the sacred fire going, but they can feel a little stuck. Hmm. And I'm feeling like it might be a little bit of that. There might be a tendency to have a chance, maybe more of that. But again, it really depends so much, Sean. It's a great question on where the other planets fall in your chart. Hmm. If you have a lot of heavy duty Leo energy besides your sun sign, you know, I could definitely see that happening. But then if you look at the cardinal signs, which are the go-getters and the starters, I don't see a Cancer. Cancers are lead with their hearts. I just don't see a lot of Cancers being falling into that, falling into the narcissistic pattern as much. But in the fixed sign, you have Leo, you have Taurus, which is all about, you know, luxury and what I need and what I love. And I have
so true.
I have one of my beautiful best friends is Taurus. But and then Aquarius, which is me, and we can be very self about ourselves, and Scorpio, which is super intense. So I'd have to think about it, Sean, but okay. I would lean towards a little bit that I would guess that in that those fixed signs, there might be more of a tendency to get stuck on what you want, what you believe, where you think it's right, and then start disregarding how others might feel. It might be also the yin versus yang. But anyway, bottom line is it's just important to understand your, you know, the people around you and their energy, and to always know that when you feel like you need to shrink back, that's not about the other person domineering you. That's about your own strengths and your own essence and your own truth and living in your own truth and who you are. But Leo energy can definitely, the drama kings and queens can definitely do that to you, and you need to be strong with them. I mean, being strong, you're pulled into your strength.
Awesome.
Right?
Awesome.
It pulls you up. So that was the main hit I got for you guys today to
wonderful
talk about Leo. So there you go.
Thank
wonderful,
you.
Sweetie. And of course, awesome, as always, you know, thank you so much for that, because you always give an insight to things that people don't think about overall in general. So, of course, we always appreciate that from you. So,
absolutely.
People can also catch you on Facebook. You're doing something a little bit new right now on Facebook.
Unchaos.
Unchaosyourself.com. Come to my Facebook group, which I do free readings every Monday at 1:11 p.m., but you can see them anytime you want. They count. And so that is just Facebook groups. /unchaos.
Yeah.
And I'd love to have you guys join
and
us.
It's absolutely wonderful. I've catch a couple of episodes myself. And and if you can, that's fine. If not, Tina, see if you can make me be able to share some of those, or for us, because we want to share that on our Facebook page too, for you,
okay,
and help spread the word out for you.
Thank you. Okay, appreciate that. Love you guys.
Love you too, sweetie. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, Tina. Thank you so much.
All right, take care, everybody.
Rawr.
It's all about the Leos. All about the Leos. So,
uh oh.
There went the telephone.
That's okay.
Wow. Boy, the wheels just fell off the show.
Yeah, that's good. Okay.
He recovered quick. Bam. So. Right back up in his
All right, here we go. And those were our horoscopes, so absolutely. Well, we're getting a double feature right now because
Guy's
on the phone.
We're so lucky.
Yes, we are. It is Paul Preston from the Movie Guys.
Hello.
That or it's Ed McMahon, one of the two, and either way, we don't care because we love them both.
Yeah, I was just noticing. It's like the back-to-back regular guests.
I know, I love it.
What a comfy Saturday morning.
Love it.
All right, before we get to movies, I got to ask this, Paul.
Oh, boy.
How was the choo-choo train ride in Yosemite?
Oh, my God. Him and
trains. Yes, my social media is decked out with trips to Yosemite. My first time there.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I'm from upstate New York, and I did all the upstate New York things that there are to do. All Sable Chasm, the Finger Lakes, Lake Champlain, Lake George, the Catskills, the Adirondacks, Lake Placid. Niagara Falls is the only thing that comes close to the massive display of incredible force of nature that you see at Yosemite. You just, I don't know when to stop looking at things. But I did take a break to ride a train. My hotel had a balcony where I was eating breakfast, and I heard... I said... I don't know what that is, but I have to write
it.
I don't know what it is, but I have to write it.
And it was right next door at the Sugar Pine Railway, and it's only about a 5-mile trek. You kind of go through the woods, and it's a legit steam train from the early 1900s that they used for logging, and they tell you stories about the history of logging. And this kind of tree here, you can make a table, you know. It's you know, quaint AF, and I really enjoyed it.
Quaint AF.
How long is the trip, though?
The whole thing's an hour.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, so then we were back in the car and made it into the park to check out whatever the heck we were doing that day, from hiking to waterfalls to swimming to lakes and lookout points and El Capitan. And I mean Yosemite is, I can't believe it's taking me that long to get there. It's bonkers amazing.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, my wife has done a couple of trips, camping trips with a girlfriend of hers early on, and yeah, wonderful times there. So I'm glad you got to go and got to relax, buddy.
And as much as I talk about its praises, you need a reservation to get in. That's the good thing. They're limiting headcount. So, yeah, you do get in there, you're not overwhelmed by people, and you can keep a good distance. But also, if you don't have, you'll be turned away at the gate. So make a reservation if you want to hear.
All right, Paul. Well, let's get down to the movies, buddy. What do you got for us?
Well, first of all, did you guys take me up on any of the recommendations I've made the last couple times on here when I'm trying to get deep cuts on VOD or streaming out there?
I watched the Pop Star when I...
Pop Star, never stop me. How funny is that?
Oh my gosh, the you were right. The cameo, the actors. Oh my gosh, hilarious! I suggest I paid for it on Amazon. I actually like paid to watch.
Wow.
Well, that was the point of my article, is to say, look, not everything is streaming, but what's worth paying for? I thought Pop Star was, and I'm glad you saw that because it leads me right into my first movie.
Perfect.
New stuff that's out there, and this also features Andy Samberg. It's the new film on Hulu called Palm Springs. Anyone there see it yet?
No, but I saw Palm Springs though.
Suggested to me several times by some friends. They're like, watch Palm Springs.
Yes. Now, there's two ways you can do it. It is a Hulu film, so it's on Hulu. But I, of course, recommend going out to the drive-in. That's the summer thing to do this year. And it's still playing there. And if you're worried about social distancing, you can bring your own snacks. The only time you really need to see somebody is when you pull up, buy your ticket, and drive in.
No, I need easier access toilet than that. I'm at home.
You will?
Wow. I need easy access toilet.
Wow, that's,
no, that wasn't it. I had to pee.
That's,
I don't have a sound for that.
Keep going, Paul.
That is... unasked for information. Thank you. Okay, so this movie is one of those time loop movies. Now, over the course of the last 27 years, they've become their own genre, you know, starting with Groundhog Day, Bill Murray gets stuck in the time loop, and then they did it with a drama with Before I Fall. Source Code was like the sci-fi version. You had the horror with Happy Death Day. Andy Samberg returns the whole thing, him and the whole the Lonely Island team, if you like those guys from SNL and from Popstar and Hot Dog, they made this film. Samberg's, I think, the only one who shows up on screen. The other guys remain sort of behind the scenes and producing. But they brought the whole thing back to romantic comedy again, which is a nice place to put that sort of wacky sci-fi concept. He plays Niles, who is reliving the same day over and over again. And it's a wedding day where he was a guest of the maid of honor. And he meets the black sheep of the bride's family, accidentally gets her caught in the loop, and next thing you know, they're figuring out how to get out of it. But a lot is not explained, and then slowly is. I mean, I've told you just what happens in like the first 15 minutes, but there's still much more that they talk about early that you kind of know what it is, but the whole movie's charming and funny and, you know, silly in parts too, that you stay with it, and then they reveal what happens. Oh, and the movie becomes more interesting, keeps the viewer engaged. It's good writing like that. And the movie itself does new things with the time loop. Like, what if the time loop is not a bad thing? You know, Bill Murray always fought against it in Groundhog Day. What if he'd get comfortable with it and sort of enjoy it? Enjoy the nihilism you can bring to each and every day, just disrupting everything. And no repercussions at all. So they take Groundhog Day, kind of turn it to 11. Not a good thing. I went to see Force of Nature, the new action movie that featured Mel Gibson.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
I know okay. Hollywood hates. Yeah, Hollywood hates Mel Gibson. And now America hates him, too. And he dug his own hole. What are you going to do, right?
He hates him.
He hates him. Well said. But as a fan for 20, 30 years, I just hate to see him relegated to projects like this. I mean, if you remember the great salad days of the mid-90s, he had Braveheart, then Ransom, and he was a Pocahontas, and then Conspiracy Theory, and Lethal Weapon 4, Payback, The Patriot. You know, he's just on a roll. And, now
he's doing Daddy's Day 2.
Or
Daddy's Home, yeah.
Or Machete Kills.
I'm looking at the poster.
Which is still good. That's a good
this
franchise.
Poster for Force of Nature, and I'm just like, yeah, I probably won't watch that. It's not...
You won't. Go see Forces of Nature, where Sandra Bullock and Ben Affleck get, you know, cute meat.
That's what I thought.
Okay. All right. Okay. So screw Force, get Forces. Yeah. Okay. All right.
He plays a grumpy old cop in his apartment in Puerto Rico, and thank God he's there because these guys come to rob the $55 million item in some other apartment, and he has to stop them. But there's a hurricane going on, so it's a whole bunch of stuff that, if it were James Cameron, would be...
I remember this. And I remember saying to myself, too, I didn't want to watch it because it reminded me of another film that was kind of like the Fast and the Furious type of a thing. But it was like during a storm and they're trying to rob something or whatever. So this to me was almost like looking at that film again, but with Mel Gibson in it. So,
well, that was the Hurricane Heist.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did, it was from the director or the producer of Fast and Furious.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was. I'm just like going, no. So yeah, okay.
Yeah, that one looked like it was big time action. This one, they kind of contained everything to the apartment complex, maybe play a little more claustrophobic. But overall, it's not good. But I'll tell you this: Emile Hirsch and Kate Bosworth and some of the other characters are really stinking it up. But when Mel hits the screen, man, it just suddenly the movie comes alive. Wow. You know, and you're reminded, oh God, he's so good. What a shame. And now, of course, when you watch old movies like Signs or something and his wife's pinned to a tree and he has his last moments with her and he's racked with pain, I mean, you see where all that pain comes from now.
Exactly. Yeah.
I will say that Mel Gibson's phone conversations that got him in trouble recently, or well, that was like maybe 6 years ago, are some of the funniest phone conversations I've ever heard. Oh.
Well, as a big Howard Stern fan, they had fun.
There you go. Paul knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. They had fun with us. They made some prank calls that were
exactly
all right.
Off the chart.
What do we got next, Paul?
Mel, to wrap it up by saying they still like when Mel directs, though. Hacksaw Ridge, we got won a couple Oscars, and you know, Apocalypto and all that. They just don't want to see him anymore. They being the world. So, but if you want to, that's on VOD.
Well, you know what? I mean, he's such a good actor overall, and it is a shame to what has happened because he is good. I mean, even like I caught a glimpse of was it Daddy's Home 2 or whatever. And even those scenes that he's in,
he plays the dad.
He plays it very well.
Okay.
You know, he's still being Mel Gibson, whether it's a comedy or whatever. But I think he needs to just choose better scripts, you know. But it could not
be crazy.
Well, that too. But I think also it's just that I think that's the only thing that Hollywood is offering him. Also,
correctamundo.
So I think he can. You know, he's got to pick what he can get right now. And unfortunately, it's these bad films.
Yeah.
So, all right. What's next, Paul?
Lastly, I went to see Irresistible. That's the new Jon Stewart film.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, how is that?
I keep meaning to watch this one.
Well, most of the reviews say it's tonally kind of all over the map. It doesn't know if it wants to be like a super biting satire or a warmer satire or like a movie that sort of triumphs the small town over big time Washington. I say all that stuff is fun to watch and it's worth a look. Although it may not be a complete bullseye for Jon Stewart. But Jon Stewart directed this movie.
Did he write it as well?
And he wrote it, yeah. Okay. Because I guess it doesn't have a lot of venom that a big satire like this could have, but it's clear that Jon Stewart has something to say about Washington. By the end of the movie, the point is driven home loud and clear. So, you know, if you thought the ride was okay, there's a real sort of payoff at the end that I appreciated. It's about a small town in Wisconsin where someone gets up at a town hall, a guy played by Chris Cooper, real simple guy who just starts talking about, you know, the values of America. And next thing you know, that all the spin doctors in Washington want a piece of that. So they're going to get into the small Wisconsin town from big time Washington and back each of the candidates, you know, Chris Cooper and then who he's running against. So they have this mayoral election where, you know, Washington just gets its claws into a small town and then see what happens from there. And it's interesting because Steve Carell plays, you know, Carell and Stewart worked for years on The Daily Show.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with Steve Carell.
No.
You can't.
And how is he in this one, though? I mean, is he...
He's good. It's an interesting role because he's not necessarily likable. He's the, you know, Washington jerk. And when you see him contrasted against super simple small town Wisconsin, he doesn't look very good, but he's funny. You know, so that's a win. And I think Stewart doesn't want him to look good. Doesn't want him to be super clean and like the hero coming in. And, you know, Washington's complicated. They're just showing how, like, even if you're backing the right person, you probably are doing it incorrectly just because you're part of the big Washington machine. So I thought he was good in that
respect. How does he contrast with Rose Byrne? Because I love her. I think she's hilarious.
Rose Byrne is the truth.
Yes.
First of all.
There we go, baby.
If you're not following her, you're doing yourself a disservice. You got to see Bridesmaids, and mostly you have to see Spy. That Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah.
Spy is very good, yeah.
She pulled a character out of thin air. I'm like, what is this character? She went all, you know,
all
1,000% in her choices, and it was so damn funny. She's hilarious.
I think Rose Byrne is amazing. I think she's incredibly talented, and she's just now, over the last couple of years, finally getting these bigger. Yeah, because, she never breaks character. It's always this, like, nice layered, you're like, that is crazy and amazing.
Big choices for someone who doesn't, you know, not like, oh, she came out of Groundlings or whatever. She's just this actress. Mm-hmm. She can be, you know, convincing in an Insidious movie and then turn around and do Spy and just be, or this, in Irresistible. She takes choices up to the nth degree and delivers a really funny performance. She's great.
Well, to me, I think that shows just the talent of a good character actor that is slowly making that climb to being someone a little bit more recognizable than I think.
Yeah, she certainly has the looks for a lead, but she can pull off anything. So that's what's great about her. Mm-hmm. You need blank in the movie, get Rose Byrne.
I agree.
I need there's any blank you need.
That should be my next tattoo. I'll get a Rose Byrne tattoo.
Rose Byrne tattoo?
Like Rose Byrne will get it done. No? Is that good? No?
There, okay. There you go. That could work. That could work.
Yeah, Rose Byrne the Riveter.
Rose Thank you, Paul. There we go.
Well, Paul, it is good to have you back, buddy. It's good to hear your voice, and I'm glad that you had a wonderful trip out to Yosemite and everything. And
Yosemite.
And
oh,
you took a little choo-choo train ride. I was very jealous of that. So,
yeah, Yosemite Sam Park is alive and well. Get out there.
All right. Very cool, buddy.
And the drive-in.
And the drive-in, yes. Check it out. Where can people go to the drive-in, Paul, real quick?
Mission Tiki in Montclair and the Vineland, which is down in...
Inland Empire
ish. Parked by the toilets.
It's a little bit of a drive.
That's where I'll be.
Yeah.
Yeah, Montclair is a bit out there. Yeah. If I could see a little closer to most
Montclair, Montclair's not too bad. I mean, it's the edge of the dark area, you know, but it's not going way deep into the Inland Empire.
Oh, Mission Tiki, Vineland Drive-In, Google either of them. Get yourself out of the house, and you know, again, you only need to see, you can bring in your own snacks. They're not policing that, so you don't even have to go to the concession stand.
Awesome.
It's
put
in
on your
industry.
Mask, buy a ticket, enjoy yourself.
The city of industry.
Oh, city of industry. Oh, that's close industry. To my mom and dad's house then. Damn.
Thank we're you. There.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I went there when I was a teenager.
You've been everywhere since you were a teenager.
In 1902.
Jeez. Oh.
And right. I was happy to see some new stuff lately. You know, only Palm Springs and the stuff I mentioned is still in the theaters, but that's good because that's the best thing I mentioned. The others are on VOD. But they're still doing throwbacks, too. Right now, you can go to Mission Tiki and see Goonies, Gremlins double feature, or Karate Kid League of Their Own double feature.
Oh,
so
that's
there's no crying in baby. She's crying, sir. Love that. Oh, God, such a good movie.
Nothing wrong with little Hanks to cheer up your weekend. So get out there.
Absolutely. All right, Paul. Good to talk to you again, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Yeah. Even in a pandemic, they don't stop making movies. So we'll talk again.
Woo!
Absolutely, buddy. Take care.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye, Paul.
Right, bye. Bye-bye.
Oh, God. Always good to talk to Paul.
I'll get my Rose Byrne tattoo right here.
Oh, God, jeez.
She is hilarious, man.
But you know what, though?
She said a study on acting.
But think of it this way, though.
What? What? What, Sean? What do you say?
Paul said, if you have a blank, you fill it with Rose Byrne, right? Right?
I'm afraid where you're going with this.
You've already got a bunch of blanks. So Rose is already there.
Oh, my gosh.
See, so you don't need to put Rose there.
Are you
Rose
telling me not to get a tattoo? Are you being that dad? You don't need a tattoo. No, don't, you know.
How about no?
Why do you always cut it off?
Because she's not a crazy Dutch bastard.
Oh, my God.
We don't know that. We don't know her background.
Irish at the best, maybe.
No, I'm English.
It could be good.
I'm English through.
Could be Dutch.
McGarry.
Thank
it
you.
Could be Dutch.
Well, no, my Ash is my...
Your ass? Oh,
Ash. God damn it. Sorry. Sorry. I went full GD. I'm sorry.
See how we both jumped on that?
Wow.
I come from a long line of very wealthy, not wealthy
ass.
Chimney sweeps.
Jim, all right, guys.
Mary Poppins full on.
All I know is I could use a good blanking.
Oh boy.
All right. Well, we got something special for you guys. Mark and Brian past moment. This is really cool. This is one of Mark's favorite. Out of all the characters that Brian has done, this is number one for Mark. Of course, when Brian would do something, sometimes it was written down. Sometimes it was improv'd. And he just had maybe just a few notes written down to get from point A to point B. When he's talking about certain things, the jokes and so forth, those are written down on this script. However, when you hear the Reverend Faircloth talk about...
The what?
Reverend Faircloth talk about... Talk about Jesus... And how, you know, praise the Lord and this and that and everything. That is all improv
for
Brian. So you get a little bit of a mixture of the two on this sketch here. So let's go ahead and listen to the Reverend Faircloth.
Good morning, Reverend Faircloth.
Praise the Lord. Jesus, praise the Lord in your soul for the phone. Whoever invented with Thomas Edison, God bless that Jesus. Blessed to touch the Thomas Edison to make the phone, to make it possible for me to call in and bless everyone over the airwaves. Who invented, I don't know, Marconi with the radio. I don't, but blessing Jesus. I bless Jesus and thank you.
And bless you, Reverend Faircloth.
Taking my call. Bless you. Now we're talking. Got a double blessed long distance love with the blessed, the Jesus Lord. The Jesus is the Lord, and the Lord is Jesus. And my blessings go out to all you out there. Now, despite that slutty socialite's tequila-fueled transgressions, I'm praying for that whore. Known as Paris Hilton, and hope she finds salvation in a state slammer. Bless you, sinner of flesh. God, you got beautiful skin. Lord, baby Jesus. Oh, baby Jesus had skin of loveliness with a halo around it, but she's got no halo. She is the liquor of Lucifer. Sinning bitch, the Lord God. Baby Jesus, now make no mistake, I do not support pardoning that hard party in Paris. She of the fake blonde hair, anorexic boy butt, and neatly shorn hoo-hoo is evidence in that devil's DVD, known to the world as One Night in Paris. Moses on the mountain, take off your sandals on account of you're going to be writing out your finger with the God on the Ten Commandments. Jesus, Lord, he's up there with that burning freaking bush. Jesus, God, I love the Lord, and I love everyone. And let me get my point out here. Oh, baby Jesus. Oh, baby Jesus, Lord Jesus. Now, my point is we must all pray. We must all pray for that shallow skank salvation, for we are all God's children, and the kingdom of heaven opens its gates unto thee and the Lord God, Peter, Paul, and Mary. Did you see the knob polishing that went on in that hotel room? My goodness, God, I bless the maids who had to come in there and scrape off that wall. Oh, Lord. Oh, hey, here's a memo to Paris, bless you. Mm-hmm. A memo to Paris. Driving drunk is not hot.
Not.
Violating probation is a felonious baloney, and you deserve to be traded for a pack of smokes to a gangbanger named Carlita with a tattoo on her ass that says, Property of Julio, who will hug you and spank you and kiss you and smack you and put the stank on it, and it will be good Noah's Ark in the rain, 2x2 coming with the Lord, because they need to save the baby animal. Don't let that unicorn on. He's got a high hard one. God bless you, Jesus Christ. I bless my Lord, and I'm blessing your Lord, because your Lord is my Lord, and God is filling me up down deep and making my tingle. Good God Almighty, Lord, the Jesus, Lord God, more Lord Jesus. Now, I can only imagine the suffering that poor wayward harlot will endure behind the bars of a woman's prison, and the abuses she will suffer at the hands of those hardened criminals who will see her as some fresh, innocent meat that needs to be seasoned and tenderized with every object imaginable. Oh, Lord God, spank it, film it, make $1 billion. I can't do it without the Lord. You can't. Bless you.
Bless you.
Who
Reverend
am I talking
Fairclough.
To?
Mark and Brian.
Good God, Jesus, Lord, bless you. Man, my Jesus is hot today. My Jesus is hot. My Jesus is on fire. My Lord God, he's so hot right now.
He's so hot, that Jesus.
Now, Paris better watch her back, because I'm going to tell you something. It'll get hairy and solitary. It'll be hard in the prison yard. They'll show her power in that all-girl shower. The guards won't hear you when you scream in the cafeteria. Oh, God, Lord, even bless that one, even though that wasn't that one good. Jesus, baby, Lord, God, I'm filling it up now, filling it up. Are you feeling the tingle?
Absolutely, right.
Oh, my nipples are hard as rocks. Now, let me tell you something. Not even a coked-up Nicole Richie could cook up the sadistic pleasure surely to be exercised upon her by her jailmates with much less money and much more badunk-a-dunk. Cushion for the pushin. Gotta be jilly, because Jim, don't shake like that. Try to measure the pleasure in cell block B, because that stands for party ass. You slut. You Beelzebub bitch. Oh, good God, you're going to burn and rot in hell. So enjoy it now. Enjoy it now. Enjoy it now, bless you, Lord. I pray for you, I do. I can only visualize that tough love that her cellmate will visit upon that slight, fair-skinned Paris, who may have fooled around with some other chicks on a dare or a drunken game of grab-ass at Skybar, but who has never known the fine line between pleasure and pain or being broken down like a naughty pony, and then ridden around wearing only spurs, and those spurs are best looking up there by your ears. You know who I'm talking about, Lucifer Licker. slut, slut of salvation. You just turn around. You just baptize yourself in the toilet bowl, you skank. Now, let me tell you something. I weep for Paris Hilton. I cry for you, Paris. I pray for you, Paris. I think of you, Paris, sitting in that jail, and it's a good thing my short pants shrunk up in the dryer because there's no room for little Joe Don Baker to stand up and say, hallelujah, man, Jesus, Lord, in your butt. I'm just saying, good God, Lord, bless you, everyone, and bless the man who put her behind bars.
Bless you.
God, Jesus, Lord, God, and bless you, Christ, Lord of the Jesus.
Bless you, Reverend.
Bless
Fairclough.
You.
And good talking to you, as always.
Bless your as always. Good God, Lord, man, I got to go and do something.
Oh, man. That's probably one of the best ones.
My face hurts. My neck hurts. I was like,
oh, man.
My shocked face.
Well, how the whole thing got started was that both saw it was some, I forgot who exactly it was, but somebody in football was being interviewed on the NFL, and he was all about the Lord and Jesus and this and that. And
that sounds about right.
And Brian just ran with it, basically, is what it was. And he created Reverend Faircloth. And so this was one of the bits that they did.
He hit the Southern pastor nail on the head.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying, like, woo, we're going to go to a tent revival.
Well, don't forget, the guys came from Birmingham, Alabama.
Exactly.
So,
that's what I was saying. I was like, this is some full-on Alabama right here.
And I was in Illinois. Like Southern Illinois, we went to a revival in a tent out in the field.
Yes.
Just like,
yeah.
And what he was doing.
Oh, yeah, total.
Oh, it's legit.
It was funny, but it was real.
Yeah.
Scary. Yeah.
I think what's most impressive about that, and this just goes for Brian overall, is his ability to do all that and be, you know, as obscene as he is in a humorous way and not slip on a single curse word in there.
No.
Not even a little bit. That's amazing. I mean, you can tell there's parts where he's thinking really fast. It's not easy doing that.
No.
It's, you know, it's just, that's, how are they not in the Radio Hall of Fame already? That's just unbelievable.
That's one of the reasons why.
It's happening. It's happening.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why they need to. They got to get in. So.
Yeah.
Oh, well, how do we top that now? Shit.
I don't think we can.
Maybe we should play that last.
We're done. See you guys. Bye.
Later. We're out.
We can't do anymore.
Well, one thing we did come across, though, was some funny signs.
Oh, man.
So, yeah.
I got to go now. I got to drop that. Oh, we all are.
What you got, Steve?
Steve, you get to go first.
Yay.
Oh, he's still here.
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
He's always here. Oh.
Waking him up.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Latte. Italian for you paid too much for that coffee.
Oh, that's good.
That's true. That's very true.
That's good. Do you want me to go next? Do you want me to do my... Yeah, why not? Okay. Caution. This sign has sharp edges. Do not touch the edges of this sign. Also, the bridge is out ahead.
By the way.
This is a sign at a flower shop. It says, roses are red, violets are blue. If he's busy on V-Day, the side chick is you.
Oh. Ooh.
Ouch.
Yeah.
A little reality there.
Oof. Oh, my.
A little drink guy there.
All right. Traffic sign read, absolutely nothing next 22 miles.
Oh, that sounds like the South right there.
Sounds like Texas.
Farmer had a sign. No trespassing. Violators will be shot, beaten, and stabbed. Survivors will be prosecuted.
Wow. Social distance sign says, I'm a social vegan. I avoid meat. And meat is spelled M-E-E-T.
Oh, boy.
No, I love puns.
It's very funny.
We know.
It's very funny. Oh, this is good. Go with
okay. Welcome to Texas. Don't mess with Texas. Our citizens have concealed weapons. If you kill someone, we will kill you back. We enjoy gunfights. It's a Texas tradition. We have 120 prisons. enjoy your stay.
It sounds about right.
That's a Ron White line. Like, in Texas, we have the death penalty, and we use it. You kill someone, we'll kill you back. That's our policy.
All right. Switch gears. A bar sign said, "Dear Naps, I'm sorry I was a jerk to you as a kid." All right.
Making up for it later on in life.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Okay. A store sign said this. Finally, all my winter fat is gone. Now I have spring rolls.
Oh.
Now I'm hungry. I was addicted to the hokey pokey, but I turned myself around.
Oh boy. That's proper right there. Store sign posted, "We accept major credit cards, cash, timber, cattle, horses, camels. However, we do not accept checks." Never a check.
A Texas jewelry store said they had a sign out saying, "Buy her a diamond ring and get a free rifle."
It's one way to sell diamonds.
All right, this is at a bar. Save the planet. It's the only one with beer.
That's
true. Oh, I love that one. That's classic. Restaurant sign. 90% of a relationship is figuring out where to eat.
That's so true.
It is. No, you pick. No, what do you want? No, what do you want?
What do you feel
like?
Yeah,
what do you feel like? What are you in the mood for? Oh, I don't know.
Okay, let's go through the drive-thru.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no. That's not true.
All right. Oh, God.
All right.
Fishing tackle sign. Eat here, get gas and worms.
that's the tackle
shop. So, ew.
And that's how we end that one.
There you go. So there's your funny signs for the day. Signs everywhere, signs fucking up the scenery. All right. Well, you know what? We've lost quite a few people this past week.
Ouch.
I know last week we reported that, was it Peter Green from the original guitar player from Fleetwood Mac passed away. Mm. So I think you've got more on that, though,
don't
you see?
More depressing.
I do. You want to do Peter Green first?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do Peter Green
okay.
first.
Okay. Yeah, it was a big one. Peter Green, troubled Fleetwood Mac founder, leaves legacy of brilliance that shines still. Boy, that's true.
Yeah.
Peter Green passed away on July 25th, age 73, 3 years older than me.
Mm, that's scary.
Mm. Leaving an indelible stamp on generations of guitar players, based primarily on a core body of work between 1966 and 1970. What are you doing? He's distracting me.
Sorry, I'm adjusting my back. I'm like...
Yeah. He was born Peter Greenbaum in 1946, the youngest son of an East End Jewish family, and, like many of his generation, transfixed by imported blues records from America. He emerged just after the initial wave of British blues rock guitar heroes, notably the celebrated triumvirate of Eric Clapton, Jeff Beck, and Jimmy Page.
I was very surprised about that. I did not know that about him. That he replaced Clapton in a particular band.
When there's something about music and classic rock involved and you don't know it, I'm shocked. Here, look at my face.
That's a shock face.
That's my shock face that Sean isn't spitting out all the information
to
us.
I think what's always amazing is I always forget how close knitted the British musicians were after the Beatles, you know, where Clapton came up and played with Jeff Beck and Ron Wood and... God, I can't think of his name right. Rod Stewart.
Oh, I mean, it's a small country.
And it's a small country. And I always forget
They're bonded.
Yeah, and that's just it. I always forget that how close they all really interacted with one another back then. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm going, gosh, I didn't know that. I was like, holy cow. I always forget that how smaller that music community really is compared to the U.S.
Yeah, because you hear, you're like, oh, yeah, those are the New York dudes. Oh, no, those are the Philly dudes.
Right.
Oh, those are the Nashville. Oh, those are L.A. That's the Austin.
Or Seattle or
exactly,
whatever. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I forgot the Pacific Northwest. I'm sorry.
Shame on you.
I'm sorry. Okay. Do I do another dead person?
Don't you touch me.
Do we have anything on Peter Green?
Yep.
Okay. Let's go ahead and do that real quick.
Fleetwood Mac co-founder Peter Green has died at the age of 73.
Oh, God, I love her accent.
He formed the band with drummer Mick Fleetwood in 1967. Described as having a fantastic soulful voice, he was Fleetwood Mac's original lead singer, producing hits like Black Magic Woman and Oh Well.
About the shape I'm in. I can't sing, I ain't pretty, and my legs are thin. But don't ask me what I think of you. I might not give the answer that you want me to.
Green was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1998. Solicitors acting on behalf of his family say he died peacefully in his sleep.
Wow. Well, again, we're losing our legends, though.
We have more. Yeah. Just don't take the rest of them.
Also, wow. This is somebody that I think everybody loved this guy. And he was a very straightforward, in-your-face, this-is-the-way-it-is attitude. And it made him just a legend on TV. And so it was Regis Philbin, longtime television talk show and game host, was 88. And
I can't believe he's 88.
Yeah.
Wow.
One of daytime television's longest-running hosts died at 88. His death came Friday of natural causes, according to his family. We're deeply saddened. We share our beloved Regis Philbin passed away last night, 1 month shy of his 89th birthday. So it was almost 89.
Right, yeah.
You know, his family and friends are forever grateful for the time we got to spend with him, for his warmth, his legendary sense of humor, and his singular ability to make every day into something worth talking about. I like that.
Yeah.
That phrase. That really says it.
Everything was interesting with Regis.
Yeah.
It was.
He could make it that way. Mm-hmm. So he won Daytime Emmy Awards for Outstanding Talk Show Host and received a Hollywood Walk of Fame star in 2003, Lifetime Achievement Award from the Daytime Emmy Awards in 2008. So Regis is... it was something. There was one point... where he was doing the morning show and he was doing Do You Want to Be a Millionaire?
Yeah, uh-huh.
At the same time. And he was, there was something else he was doing too, but he was like working all the time.
Yeah.
And I heard people say that he was just like that. He just loved it. He wanted to keep doing
things. And not only that, but then he was also doing his nighttime, let's call them Vegas acts also around, because he was a singer. You know, he was a sidekick to Joey Bishop early on in his career, who was part of the Rat Pack. So he knew the Rat Pack. He knew Joey Bishop really well. He knew Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, and everything. So, you know, this is a guy who came out of, who in my eyes was a little bit of a leftover of the crooners, who kind of missed the boat to a degree. But at the same token, he found his own niche and was able to get on television and be that persona that I think he learned by being around the Rat Pack and those type of people.
Tiny guy, but larger than life.
Absolutely.
Exuberant is the word. You know?
And if you ever see him and Don Rickles together, because they were very close friends as well, you're going to laugh your butt off, because Don will just rip him apart.
Oh, that's funny.
And I was watching a couple of things, and where Don Rickles was on David Letterman, and of course Regis has been on Letterman 150 times.
What?
He was the number one guest appearances on with David Letterman. And, of course, Regis was, to me, was Mr. New York. He really was, because he loved that city. And if you can look that up, please do. I'll see if we can post it on our Facebook page. It's a really good interview because Regis comes out at the end and tells some great, great, great stories on it. So do we have anything on Regis here?
Sure do.
Okay, let's
go. People has decided to give newsstand readers a choice of covers. One features the bombshell new book that details what went on behind the scenes during Harry and Meghan's exit from Royal Life.
Who cares?
3 days before we went to press, we got the sad news that beloved TV icon Regis Philbin had passed away. Regis brought us so much joy appearing in our homes daily for many, many years that we wanted to celebrate his life on the cover as well. Both will be available on newsstands Friday, and don't worry, they both have all the same stories inside.
In the issue, Regis's family and friends are mourning his loss while remembering his lasting legacy. In an exclusive statement to People, his wife, Joy Philbin, says he let everyone into his life. He turned every little daily annoyance and happiness into a story, and he shared all of those little stories with people in a joyful and conversational way. She adds, it made his audience feel like they were right alongside him, because they were.
Regis died on July 24th of heart disease. He was 88 years old. His family says they're grateful for the time that they got to spend with him, citing his warmth, legendary sense of humor, and singular ability to make every day into something worth talking about. For even more on Regis's legacy, pick up your copy of...
And People Magazine.
We'll pick up People Magazine, thank you. But thanks for the suggestion.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
All right. Who do you have, Amber?
I have John Saxon. So he was in A Nightmare on Elm Street. And so he just recently died. He was 83. John Saxon, a character actor known for his roles at his roles in Westerns and horror films, died Saturday. His career spanned more than 60 years, tallying more than 200 film credits. He co-starred with Bruce Lee in Enter the Dragon.
Yeah.
And starred in Wes Craven's A Nightmare on Elm Street, of course, right. In 1984.
He was one of those character actors where you... It's like, oh, yeah, I know him.
Yeah, I know him. Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like, and he finally got, I think, to a certain status, but didn't quite get there. But, oh, gosh, I can't think of his name right now. Damn it.
I'm shocked.
Oh, shit. I can see his face. Another character actor. God, I know you guys can't help me.
No, we can't. We're not in your brain.
No.
It's weird.
But I see the frustration there on your face because you usually have every single answer, like I said.
I know.
It's going to come to you.
It is.
John Saxon. So did he play? He was Freddy, wasn't he?
Shit.
No.
Which one was he?
He was the girl's dad.
Oh, that's right. I can't see the picture. I'm trying to. There's a glare on the damn screen.
Robert Englund.
Oh, that's right. Robert that's right. Okay.
Freddy Krueger.
Okay.
I can't think of the actor.
Well, then maybe you'll think of it like later when we're.
I will.
Tweet us if you have the answer.
It'll pop in your head.
Tweet us the answer that's in my head.
Yeah. Who can read John's brain?
Well, I had a friend that worked with
John
England.
Saxon?
No, with England. Oh. He worked on some of his movies. He now was on the crew for Will and Grace.
Oh, nice. Very cool. So.
All right. Should I go to my next one?
Yes.
Okay. This is a sad one. This is a long one, too. Olivia de Havilland. Yes, Oscar-winning for Gone with the Wind, actress, and linked to Hollywood's golden era. She was 104.
Yeah.
Like, give me some of that.
You go, girl.
Give me some of that. I'm going to the doctor to make sure I can make it to 104. Okay, a two-time Academy Award winner for Best Actress. She died in her sleep at her home in Paris. That's a nice way
to go. Good for her.
Yeah, de Havilland rose to prominence in the 1930s in a series of swashbuckling adventure films with Errol Flynn, including Captain Blood and The Adventures of Robin Hood.
Arg.
Yes, she had her own battles in real life. De Havilland waged a legal action against Warner Brothers over her seven-year contract, which the studio tried to extend as a penalty for her refusing certain roles. She won the case in a landmark ruling that is still known today as the de Havilland Law. That's amazing. That's some girl power there, some feminism. So she had an Oscar nomination for her roles as Melanie in Gone with the Wind and was the final major cast member from the classic film. She was the only one still living from the classic film Gone with the Wind. So she followed that performance by earning her first Academy Award in 1946, To Each His Own. I don't think I've seen that. Yeah. It sounds familiar, though. Mm. The second of her Academy Awards came 3 years later for The Heiress.
Both
so she
movies,
will be
yeah.
missed. She was a powerful lady.
Very powerful, especially behind the scenes
gorgeous,
in Hollywood.
Gorgeous, powerful, and smart and beautiful.
Yeah, and very powerful behind the scenes. And what she did for actors and the Screen Actors Guild was amazing. It gave the actors rights.
Absolutely.
Basically, is what
and
it
that
did.
Time for women was...
Well, not just for women and actors in general, because you got to remember, those were the times that you were under contract.
Yes.
So the studio owned you.
Yes.
Basically. So, and she was the one who kind of helped break that.
Yes, the Havilland Law.
Wow, exactly. Yeah.
Tongue twister.
Yes.
If I can add one more person.
Sure. Oh, yes, please.
Okay.
Yes.
A great director, filmmaker, Alan Parker. Passed away this week. He did Midnight Express, Bugsy Malone.
Oh, great movie. One of my favorites.
Fame. And a movie that's one of my favorite comedies. People don't know about this movie. It was called Road to Wellville.
Oh, okay.
And it's about John Kellogg, the Kellogg's Corn Flakes.
Yeah.
It's kind of a loose story about the Corn Flake Wars and stuff like that.
I know it's Frosted Flakes. Shut up.
And here's the cast in this movie. Anthony Hopkins.
Ooh.
Bridget Fonda.
Ooh.
Matthew Broderick.
Hey.
John Cusack.
Ooh.
Dana Carvey.
Ah.
Michael Lerner.
No way.
Hey.
Laura Flynn Boyle.
What?
Oh my God. I love her.
Oh,
and Cameron Manheim.
Oh, Cameron. Oh,
so, I'm kidding.
What a movie it is. You watch it just to see the characters.
That's huge.
All these actors and actresses that are just, you know, real names.
Say
and it's
time.
A funny
which movie
but he directed it. It's called Road to Wellville.
Okay.
And Alan Parker directed it, and along with a lot of other stuff. Yeah. And it's sad that he created a lot of entertainment that a lot of different people know about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody may have not have liked one movie, but they would have liked one of his other ones. And, and so he was very versatile.
And going on that with Bugs, I forgot that he did, and I don't know why I forgot that he did Bugsy Malone, because that's one of my favorite little secret gems of a movie.
I know. That's why I wanted to add it, because I know that you liked that.
Yeah. And if you haven't seen Bugsy Malone, it's a wonderful film. It stars Scott Baio and Jodie Foster. And it came out in 1977. It's the same year that she did Taxi Driver.
Oh, wow. She was young.
Very young. And the whole cast is nothing but kids. It was filmed in England. The main roles were all American kids, but the rest of the supporting cast were British kids. And it's a very entertaining, very fun. It's a family film about Bugsy Malone during the 1920s. The cars were specially built, and the kids had to pedal the cars. The guns shot like the meringue from a
Lone Ranger. Oh, that's right. You've mentioned this one before.
It is such a good film. It is so cute. And the music was done by the great Paul Williams. And then they turned it into a Broadway play, and they asked Paul Williams to come back and write more songs for the play itself, so it could be a little bit longer, so they could do it as a stage production. So, great, great, great film. But you got something on Olivia de Havilland. We need to...
Oh, that's right, yes.
Yeah, so let's go back to that real quick.
This morning, Hollywood is remembering Olivia de Havilland, one of the last stars from cinema's so-called golden age. The Oscar-winning actress died at her home in Paris yesterday at the age of 104.
God bless her.
She appeared in dozens of films in her decades-long career, including... of course, Gone with the Wind. Off screen, she was called a fighter and challenged Hollywood's contract system.
This house won't seem the same without Bonnie.
It's the role for which she was most famous, playing Melanie in the 1939 classic film, Gone with the Wind. It also scored Olivia de Havilland her first of five Academy Award nominations. She would go on to win two, the first for playing an unwed mother in 1946's To Each His Own, and again in 1950 for her lead role in The Heiress.
He finds me pleasing.
Oh, yes, I'm sure he does.
Thank you for this very generous assurance.
She returned to the Oscar stage over a half century later as a presenter at the 2003 Oscars.
Is a memorable one for me. And so was that night 53 years ago.
Never a pushover, de Havilland pushed for fully realized characters and famously took on the studio system, fighting and winning in court to get out of her restrictive contract to Warner Brothers, a contract first signed when she was just 18 years old that had her playing opposite Errol Flynn in The Adventures of Robin Hood.
Robin!
Yes? Then you do love me, don't you?
She would go on to star in movies for the next 55 years, retiring from film in 1988. She moved to television, winning a Golden Globe for her work in Anastasia, The Mystery of Anna.
Oh, yeah.
She first won the award in 1950.
My Golden Globe back home has been waiting, I think it's 37 years, for a mate. And at last, I can take this companion back.
One of the last stars of the golden age of Hollywood.
Ah, so amazing, though.
I was, she loved to go to court, though, because I totally forgot I had this conversation last weekend, was that she fought with the, she didn't like how she was portrayed in The Feud.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, she was very unhappy with how Catherine Zeta-Jones, I thought it was great.
Yeah, well, I mean, because they felt like it was shaming her, basically.
Aww.
But, yeah, it is what it is. So, We're gonna miss all of them, and you know, as God, you know, as I get older and everything, I mean, it's just amazing on the legends that you grew up with. You think they're gonna be there forever, yep. And you know, good Lord takes them all in different times, and you know, we lost four good ones this past week. So, condolences to all of their families, of course. So.
Nobody makes it out alive, yo.
Nope, and you can't take it with you.
You cannot.
All right. Well, you know what? My mom and I were talking last week about something that was very unique during the 40s, during World War II, and because everybody had them back then, and that was what they call a victory garden. Mm-hmm. And they were called victory gardens basically because you were hoping that, you know, America was going to win the war, basically, so V for victory. And it was a time where people had to grow their own food. And it helped save money for them, so they would have their garden and grow their tomatoes and this and that and so forth, whatever it is. And everybody basically had one. So I came across something the other day that kind of reminded me of that, and that is 10 ways to regrow food in water.
Fantastic.
And, you know, we are in this pandemic, you know,
state. I do this all the time.
Yeah.
It's so fun for kids, too.
It really is. And I know when the pandemic first hit, our orange tree was full of oranges. So mm-hmm. the first month, basically, we were, you know, picking the oranges off and juicing them, and we had fresh orange juice.
Orange juice out the ass?
Absolutely. And it was so good.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic.
It was really good.
Didn't we have mimosas with it, I think? No?
Possibly. I wouldn't doubt it, yeah. So it was really, really nice. So like I said, I saw this article, and I wanted to share it with you guys, so let's see if we can get through this fairly quickly. So 10 ways to regrow food in water. Of course, it's free. It'll trim your grocery budget down. It makes changes in organics more affordable. And, of course, it's very, very easy. So here's a list of things that you guys can do here. Bok choy.
Oh, yes.
You can grow. And all of these, basically, you're just putting in them in a glass of water, maybe about a half inch thick or 2 inches thick of water, just to cover the roots, basically. And that's all you need. And then you kind of just check the water every so often. So bok choy, cabbage. You can regrow cabbage.
I've never tried this.
Be interesting to try, yeah. Carrot greens.
Absolutely. You can do that. Stick them in water.
And I want to try this. Celery.
Yes, that's easy.
Yeah. Didn't know you could do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Celery. The thing about most of them is you have to get like at the outer layers because they'll rot and then they'll...
Right.
Because it's the middle that...
It comes up from.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, exactly. So I use the seeds of this all the time in my tuna salad sandwich, but fennel.
Yes, fennel you can regrow.
And I didn't know about that, so that's kind of...
It looks very similar to celery.
Oh, okay, all right. Garlic chives.
Yes.
Green onions.
Yes.
Leeks.
I don't have leeks all the time.
Lemongrass.
That's good.
And lettuce, of course.
Yes.
So, and if you want to enhance and actually put something to where you're going to start off in water and then need to transplant it, obviously avocados.
Mm-hmm. I have like 10 pits. I have so many of those things. Yeah, I just stop.
We're trying to grow.
I know. I've seen. Yeah.
Yeah, we're trying to grow.
We're talking about that ourselves.
Basil.
Yes, basil. Yeah.
Beets.
Mm-hmm.
Cilantro. ginger.
I have some ginger growing. Yes.
Lemon balm.
I mean, I just buy that.
Mint.
Mint's very easy.
My grandmother had...
Mint's a weed.
Yeah. My grandmother had mint in the backyard.
Yeah. With mint, don't let it into the garden.
It will take over everything.
Yeah.
And it's... You can't get rid of it.
It'll strangle. The roots will literally take over.
You can't.
Here's Steve's favorite. Mushrooms.
Which kind?
Any kind. Onions.
Yes.
Parsnips.
Yep.
Pineapple.
I have several of those right now.
Really?
Yeah, when we had our pina colada day.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I had those growing. They're amazing. They're getting big.
Wow. Okay.
Very easy.
Potatoes.
I have potatoes. Yeah.
Rosemary, sweet potatoes, and turnips. So I mean that's a good variety.
Oh, I have a ton of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of stuff that you can grow at home.
My grandmother did this. My grandmother had a huge... Well, I come from a farming family, so
true. Yeah.
Ohio farm family. So she had a beautiful garden. You know, it probably was a victory garden, now that you say that, but...
Well, farming's a little bit different, though.
Well,
but
no. She came from a farm family. Like, we came from a farm family, and then my mom's family were suburbanites.
Mm-hmm.
And but she had a huge, they had like 3 acres of land, and she had a huge, nice little personal garden.
Yeah, and that's kind of like what Victory Garden is, you know. But yeah, this exactly. is more. Everybody was in the city, but you had a little section or whatever
yeah,
in your
yeah,
backyard
yeah, exactly.
where you did that. And I mean, growing up, I mean, I had so many fruits and vegetables in my grandmother's backyard. It was strawberries. We had an avocado tree. We had my favorite was now my mind is going blank again.
Awesome. Rutabaga?
No, not rutabaga.
Apricots.
No, it starts with the P.
We had apricots.
What is it again? It
starts with the P.
What is
persimmons.
Persimmons we got.
Peaches.
Mangoes we had. Lemons we had.
Pomegranate.
That's what, thank you. Yeah. That was my favorite, you know, because I love to wear a white shirt and eat a pomegranate.
And
my grandmother would make a pomegranate jelly for Christmas.
Oh, really?
And then she would put a wax seal on top of it and make it look like snow, and then put little like decorations on it so it looked like a little scenery
kind
of thing. It was great. It was awesome. So anyway, I wanted to share that with you guys. So, you know, it's a way again to save money and
it just takes time growing food. Yeah. You know, once you get little things rooted, or they're kind of sprouting, it's just care. And I think that's what people get so hung up on, is that it is literally, you gotta take care of food.
You gotta take care of it.
Food is hard to grow. Yeah. House plants, other plants, you just let that shit go.
Especially cactus.
Yes, food is time consuming.
It is.
It is a daily.
But if you do it, I mean, you're going to benefit at the end.
Absolutely.
You know, and lower your bill.
Morning, afternoon, and you have to get out there. And tomatoes are really tough. Tomatoes, peppers, anything that worms eat are like, wow. It's like a baby.
It is.
Constant.
It is. It is. So,
okay.
Anyway, I want to share that with you guys.
Thank you.
Is it time to log into the Neanderthals?
I think so.
Okay.
Let's go.
History began on July 4th, 1776.
Steve's birthday. You like that?
Stay thirsty, my friends.
Chubbies going back to the 1970s.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Neanderthals, the only reality TV show that has been discovered while a Neanderthal family was followed during their day-to-day adventures. Today, we begin part 6 of our adventure with the Klonk family. So far, we've seen them find a home, find food, created music, discovered fire, and last week they discovered themselves. Now, they have already learned to cook the food, but this week, we find them at odds. At odds end, excuse me. And trying to create new dishes to eat. Let's join them in a cave now to see what they are doing to prepare for tonight's meal.
Generally, at Thanksgiving, I don't dare put bread on the table. I do put biscuits. And these are the flakiest, most powerful biscuits. They're just fresh out of the oven, and they're very easy to make. These are buttermilk biscuits. And this recipe comes from a collection of our favorite recipes from the last year.
Get a helper, Mr.
Pickle.
I let you.
Hi, I'm Julia Child. I'm making a very special meal and cooking it just the way Phil has requested. We've got a very colorful meal here, I think, with these beautiful green beans, bright orange, scalloped potatoes, beautiful tenderloin steak, mushroom sauce, and more green for color.
To y'all that say I'm racist, I'd like you to meet Jelly Roll, my best friend in the whole cotton picking world. We're both just chocolate and vanilla pudding all just swirled together.
I'm just the bitch who makes biscuits.
Hey, y'all, it's
African American.
Cooking with Paula Deen to prove once and for all that I love all you
African Americans.
Now you stop all fooling, Jelly Roll. You agreed to tell him how nice I am to y'all.
Oh, you mean like that time when we had that pancake fundraiser and I had to dress up as Aunt Jemima?
We just needed someone with an afro.
That's
just
humanity.
Those
always have
been a top thing.
Very good, Dean.
Jobs. Dean Carbuncle.
which are the purple and the black.
Freddy's King! First day of quarantine, best looking first day of the VDK, and a puppity corn. A first day of puppity corn to shrimp peas.
None of those people know shit about cooking. I'm headed to Popeye's for some spicy chicken.
Well, that seems to be it for today. We will see you folks next week when we join the family on a hunting trip. Won't that be nice? Let's just let the music play out then, I guess. I think I might have bit off more than I can chew. This is your narrator with the Neanderthals. Cheers.
Oh.
That was a decent show.
Yeah.
Wow.
Epic as always.
Wasn't too bad.
Didn't realize that.
Neanderthals.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to share something with you guys.
Share
that
with us.
In putting that together, I came across this thing where it was Martha Stewart and Robin Williams.
Oh.
And Robin Williams is visiting her.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're going to be cooking some kind of meat, basically. And it's Robin Williams at his best.
Is that human meat?
Yes, it's human meat.
Cool.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
We'll stop from Sweeney Todd.
Look, I mean, it looks like...
Steak.
It could be a thigh. I don't know. Is that flank? I don't know.
Yeah, it's flank, actually, yeah.
All right, okay.
All right, so here we go. A little bit of the great Robin Williams.
I'm back with Robin Williams, and...
Gracias, amigos. Robin Williams, yo soy Martha Stewart. A la cochina, esta cochina de Martha Stewart. Me salen las carnitas. Bienvenido, amigos. Carnitas.
Sí, sí, sí. And we are going to try to make today's simple supper a delicious chili rub skirt steak on tacos. And we're going to start... And luckily, we are going to mix up the rub, and you're going to rub it into the meat.
Wow.
See, that shuts him up.
Luckily that I had that experience from the ages 12 to 22. I'll be rubbing the meat, as we say, for the little children, look away from whom. I'll be doing the rub. Aye, there's the rub. In this derided flesh, and yet not knowing why we will cook thee and know thy name.
I warn you.
Shakespearean, so that's the way you like it.
Yes. I warn you not to rub it.
Hard.
No, except on the steak.
On the steak, yes.
Yeah, no other place because it's because a little bit spicy.
Yeah, a little. Well. Isn't it always? As they say, muy caliente, troppo caldo, say.
Two garlics smashed with salt. Two tablespoons of chili powder. Don't breathe it too much.
No, thank you. Wow. That is a very deep chili. Powerful chili that will make the whole body react and all the chakras be very powerful.
Two tablespoons light brown sugar.
Two tablespoons light brown sugar. Uh-huh, yeah, go, brown. Girl. We got brown sugar.
And two teaspoons smoked paprika. One teaspoon cumin.
One cumin. Knock, knock, cumin. A very old Indian joke. Knock, knock, cumin.
Right.
If you ever want to be in an Indian video, try this. You have to just simply do this. Change the light bulb, change the light bulb, change the light bulb.
Okay. Instant espresso. Now, that's an odd ingredient, don't
you think? Instant espresso, just to make Dad stay awake all night. So we're crushing that. I'll get the meat ready.
You get that meat ready.
Who's your daddy?
Snacking the meat on the tray.
Just preparing the meat.
Yes. That tenderizes it.
Tenderizes it in a big way. Oh, yes, Mama.
Who chose this recipe, anyway?
Yeah, who chose this?
Who chose this?
Who set us up for comedy heaven?
We could have made apple pie. Right?
We could have what?
Made apple pie.
Yeah, but that's not as much fun as pounding the meat. Get ready to rub the meat.
We could have actually gotten a recipe done.
Yes, we will. This will
okay,
be really
okay, so
good.
Now you rub it in.
Rub it in.
Sometimes she's a good sport.
Both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Her best friend is Snoop Dogg, for God's sake.
I don't know that's real.
I think so.
I can't quit you, Innes.
So now,
Brokeback Mountain.
Okay, rub-a-dub.
Rub-a-dub. Dear Diary, day two, rubbing meat.
30 minutes at room temperature.
At room temperature, keep rubbing the meat for 30 minutes. At that point, if nothing happens, you realize that pretty much you've been dead for a few days.
No Viagra, right?
That'll be. Then you have the really.
Stop that.
The meat that
rises
up.
Stop it.
I know.
Don't say it. One jalapeno pepper. With the seeds taken out.
Seeds. Oh, that's always good.
Half of a white onion. We're just browning all these vegetables on the grill. These are the top of the stove grill is great if you don't have an outdoor grill. We know.
And those who don't have an outdoor grill, you know who you are. Don't be afraid to grill outdoors and just leave things out for a little animal.
You know what a tomatilla is, right?
Tomatilla is a very, it's like a sweet pepper, see?
It's...
Like this?
This. It's a member of the nightshade family.
Nightshade?
Yeah. And so you peel that off and you get these nice little bright green things. They're sort of like tomatoes, but they're not tomatoes.
Oh, really?
Okay, so but just in tomatoes kind of, are also...
Hey, I could have been a tomato family.
You're right. Tomatoes are also nightshade.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's why they used to think they were poisonous.
Yeah.
Yeah, like mandrake.
Well, they are. The foliage is poisonous.
Well, then don't make that salad.
Did you ever? No, tomato. No, it's the foliage.
The foliage is poisonous.
Yeah, yeah. Not the fruits.
No.
Just the foliage.
Let's not go there.
So then you put the steak that's been marinating in the dry rub for 30 minutes or so right on the grill.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't that smell good?
Yeah, baby.
It does. So the veggies grill for 10 minutes. The meat grills for just about 3 minutes per side.
There you go.
Wasn't
that awesome?
Yeah.
Yes. He made her tolerable.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. Who the hell wants to watch Martha Stewart? Not me.
Yeah, but no. I mean, that's just.
Oh yeah.
That's Robin at his best.
I know. He's just bam.
And definitely miss. Mm-hmm. Still miss to this day. So. All right, should we play the game, guys?
Why not?
All right.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the game show that made Julia Childs realize she never used enough butter in her cooking, Quiz Me,
Quiz You.
Oops. Sorry, I was having so much fun with it.
Boy, that came to a big screeching halt.
Yeah. It's okay. I know. Sean's going to change the channel thing for me.
We left more tire marks than in my cousin Billy.
Right. In which country is it illegal to hold Valentine's Day events in public?
Ooh.
Oh.
What's a really
Sean.
Sad place?
Sean.
China.
Steve.
China. Oh, Steve.
What?
Saudi Arabia.
Ooh, Steve's close. Steve is on the map.
Amber. Iraq.
Amber, well, we're getting there. Okay. We're getting
we're
folks.
Somewhere in the top of the African continent.
Sean.
Israel?
Steve. It's in
Steve.
There. Steve.
Iran.
No?
Where'd you go?
Jordan.
Sean?
Sean.
Egypt?
Amber. Turkey.
Uzbekistan.
Oh, Steve, you nearly said it.
Sean.
Sean.
Pakistan.
That is correct.
Okay.
The Islamabad High Court of Pakistan also puts a ban on all media broadcasts related to Valentine's Day.
Fine.
Question
I'm not
number
going
two.
There.
Yeah. Screw that country. How about another Valentine's one? Because it's right next to it.
Let's do it.
Which of the following group of people receive the most cards on Valentine's Day? If you have kids, this should be easy.
Sean.
Sean.
Mothers.
Steve.
Steve.
Elementary school kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amber.
You're right. That's
grade school, like kindergarten.
You guys are saying all the right clues, but I'm just looking for something specific.
Students.
Not students.
Sean.
Sean.
Children.
No, not children. I'm not looking for the students or the children or the kids or the thereof.
Steve.
Steve.
Teachers.
Oh, there you go.
Oh,
Teachers should show more appreciation on Valentine's Day than girlfriends, wives, or anyone else. Yeah, question number three.
All the students, yeah. Okay, I get
I had a crush on a few hot teachers.
Who was the MVP of the 2010 through 11 NBA regular season?
That's a Steve question.
Yep.
Steve?
Steve? Oh.
That was a long time. 2010?
to 2011.
That was.
Hey, Steve, here's a hint.
9 to 10 years ago. Come on.
He might be Blick.
What?
Blick.
He might be Blick.
No.
He is.
Oh, he might be.
You are.
Guys. I need to get Shelby. Shelby needs to give me a hint on this one. She knows the NBA forwards and backwards. Shelby!
I don't know. What is it?
Drink your juice, Shelby.
Steve.
LeBron James.
The answer is Derrick Rose.
Derrick. Oh, we came that close. We were that close to him.
Couldn't exactly follow him.
Four. At what age did Moses die?
Ooh.
Since we were on that previous sort of topic. Kind of.
The Lord Jehovah brings you these 15, 10, 10 commandments.
Steve.
Steve.
600.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know. I was going to go for like some weird Jesus age and say like he died in his like 40s or 50s.
No, Moses was, I think.
No, you're thinking of Methuselah.
I'm not thinking of Methuselah.
Think of the age of Olivia who passed away.
Yeah, I was going to say Moses. Yeah, okay. He's about like 100, 104.
Okay, Sean's close. But he didn't even say his name. That's okay.
Sean?
John?
100, 104.
No.
I know. I'm not a big Genesis Deuteronomy fan.
Genesis Deuteronomy?
Those are the books. Amber's
not into dudes.
No, I'm talking about in the Bible. The first two books of the Bible are Genesis and Deuteronomy.
Okay, just go.
Exodus.
Yes.
Deuteronomy.
For the answer, just go a little higher. It's in the right ballpark.
Oh my God, we're just getting numbers
Steve.
At this point.
107.
Higher, much higher.
100.
Amber, go ahead, give a guess.
14.
Amber's the closest.
15.
Not doing this.
16. Sean.
No.
17.
Sean. 175.
The answer is 120.
That one.
Skip you.
None of us.
So are you Peter Gabriel or are you a Phil Collins Genesis kind of person? That's post Genesis.
I don't care. That's the best.
Okay.
That's what she thought of.
Phil. Yeah. Let's go for Phil. I do. Never mind. Move on. We're getting this conversation. It's all good.
Which classic 1980s band are responsible for the hit "Sweet Dreams Are Made of These"?
Amber.
Sean, yeah.
What was that?
Eurythmics.
Yeah, that was too easy. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, and the actor I was trying to think of earlier was William H. Macy.
Oh, man. Yes, William H. Macy.
Because he was one of those guys who did a lot of small roles and then just exploded later on.
Yeah, he did. Moving on.
Number six. Right. What is the name of the first pizzeria to open in the United States?
We had that question.
Did
before.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if we've had something to that effect.
I don't remember what it was.
I don't think it was that New York one. Somewhere. It was something similar to that.
Yeah,
something. Amber. Let's go with Domino's.
Oh God, no.
Not franchise.
Okay, not franchise.
Yeah, no. It was like Mike's Pizza or something or whatever.
Let's skip this bullshit.
What was it?
Lombardi's Pizza.
Yeah.
Oh, we did something similar.
Sorry,
like this,
question number seven. Canada is made up of how many provinces?
Sean. Five.
Steve. 10.
That is correct.
Oh, I thought it was less than that.
They are Ontario, British Columbia, Quebec, Alberta,
Saskatchewan.
Nova Scotia, Newfoundland, and Labradorian. Manitoba, New Brunswick, and Prince Edward Island.
Yes.
Question number eight.
And the question is, where did Steve live on some of these? Because you know he did live somewhere, probably.
Let's see. Which of the following artists has been described by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as arguably the greatest instrumental in the history of rock music? Instrumentalist, excuse me.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, this is a everybody question.
Amber, I'm going to just take a shot at this one.
Amber.
I want it to be Prince.
Oh, no.
Damn! You sexy motherfucker.
Sean.
God, we were talking about him earlier, too.
We were?
Yeah, we were. John Coltrane.
No.
When were we talking about John Coltrane?
Steve.
We were talking about foreign players as well.
John Hot Train.
John Hot Train. Oh, boy. Sean, I'm shocked you don't know this.
And I don't think it's going to be
a
rock and roll, or what we think of a rock and roll. It's not going to be a guitarist, I'll tell you that. Or is it a guitarist?
It is. And he's a guitarist. Okay. Well, he is dead.
Oh, it's a dead guitarist.
Sean. Jimi Hendrix.
That is correct.
Oh, you know what? Okay.
Just needed a little greasing of the wheels there. Question number 9.
What was his first name again? His real name was?
James. James.
Whatever.
It was not James.
It was his first name, James.
Oh. You may listen to Jimmy, but you don't hear Jimmy.
You hear James.
Oh, my gosh.
Polar bears mainly feed on what animal?
Steve.
Oh.
Seals.
Hooray.
And the baby ones at that.
Yeah.
Because they're chewy. Meat.
Final question. Another animal one. What is the fastest fish in the ocean?
Steve.
Sean.
Barracuda.
Amber.
Marlin?
No, I don't know why.
You know what? The two of you could be right, but I want to see what Sean says.
Shark.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, the only two of you are close.
Fastest fish in the ocean. Fish.
Oh, Sean.
Sean.
Dory.
What the fuck?
The answer is a sailfish.
Oh, we were close.
Out of the 31,500 identified fish, the sailfish is the fastest. The sailfish is able to swim at a speed of 68 miles per hour.
Damn.
18 miles per hour faster than the second place fish.
What's the second place fish?
I don't know. Doesn't say. This could be the only answer.
Story.
Hey, Billy Falcon.
Hey.
Billy. How you doing, Billy? National Girlfriend Day.
There you go. That sounds good. She says it hardly ever holds her. Gotta do the backup vocals. Well, don't forget, folks, our show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page is Your Weekly Dose. Twitter and Instagram is Your Weekly Dose 1.
And me, Steve, on Facebook, Steve Silva.
Exuberant.
Twitter, it's at SilvaLining69.
Sounds so thrilled about it.
I know, that's my word for the day.
I don't spend much time on him, and people don't really
excited about it. Yeah. If you want to find me, you can. Amber Ash McCary.
McCary.
What'd you say?
McCary.
Thank you.
And I'm at Zombie Mel Gibson on Instagram.
Saturday.
Yeah.
And if you want to find me, Sean Sibley, on any of the social media, just simply go to Sean Roberts HC. So there you go. Well, today is going to be a beautiful day on the East Coast and on the West Coast.
Gorgeous day.
So we thank Delmarva Radio Talk Radio for letting us join their airwaves today, as always. And, of course, we will catch you guys next week. And who knows what the hell we're going to do? We don't even know.
No.
Except that we will have another episode of The Neanderthals.
Oh, boy.
I know what I'm doing. I'm going to get coronavirus tested.
Oh, that's right.
Drive-through, CVS.
He can't get a date until he gets a test.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right, then.
Doesn't that make it kind of worth it?
Yes, it does.
I don't know. I think you're getting... never mind.
Anyway. All
right, it's not guys. Even a date. It's the next step.
Okay.
All right, folks, take care of yourselves. Be good to each other. Please wear your masks.
And distance.
Yeah. Last night you let me walk her home. Last night you let me hold her. Last night I didn't have to spend alone. Last night you let me kiss her. I kissed her.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.